The first reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. And this can be found on page 1236 in the Pew Bibles. That's 1236. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 to 44, and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 994. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen when the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
As we stand, a prayer. Lord, open our ears to hear your word, and we pray you give us a right response to the way history will unfold. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You may have heard a few years ago about the case of Ken Barger. Ken Barger was an American, and he was being cited as a good reason for further gun control, tighter gun control. Ken Barger from North Carolina was asleep when the phone rang, but the ringing roused him, So he reached out to his bedside table for the phone. However, instead of picking up the phone, he picked up his loaded handgun, put it to his ear, squeezed the trigger, and shot himself dead. For Ken Barger, it was a life-transforming, or rather death-bringing, action. It all happened with an unforeseen suddenness and with tragic results for Barger and his family. Our Bible reading this morning speaks of another life-changing event which will come with an unforeseen suddenness to many and won't just affect one man and his family, no, every individual in the world and for eternity will be affected. What do we learn about Jesus' return? It is first at an unknown time. The question, can we know when Jesus will come again, has often been answered down the centuries of church history with a resounding yes. And of course, there are signs of the end of the age, the emergence of deceivers, natural disasters, opposition to the gospel, and the gospel being proclaimed everywhere, spoken about earlier in Luke 24. But the teaching of Jesus is explicit and clear. Verse 36, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Looking at these words of Jesus, some have tried to say that the day and hour remain unknown. We can be certain of a year and month, but that's to play fast and loose with a plain sense of words and the context. When Jesus will return, the precise moment is not indicated, rather, it's hidden. And despite this, men like the early Brethren leader J.N. Darby in the 1880s, C.I. Schofield, you can still see Schofield Bibles in secondhand bookshops, and then Hal Lindsey, whose books also you see in secondhand bookshops, when he wrote in the 70s, have given highly detailed accounts of how and when return of Jesus will be. The Seventh-day Adventists, who are a wonderful group of Christian people, they obviously meet on a different day of the week, they even back in 1953 said when the second coming was going to happen. They declared when it was. And that's all very extraordinary given verse 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. People have thought they know the timing of the end of the world through a variety of indicators. Some do it through numerical calculation. They tend to use obscure passages from Ezekiel and Daniel. For example, in the Middle Ages, Joachim Fiora, who died in 1200, divided world history into three epochs. The third starting in 1260, which he said was going to be an age of universal monastic peace and rest. Nothing like that happened, and such a view of the end has been thoroughly discredited. Other people do it through prophetic revelation. There was a heretical splinter group back in the second century, about 179. They were led by a man called Maximilian. They were called the Montanists. And Maximilian said this, after me, there'll be no more prophecy, only the end of the world. A few years later, nothing happened. Or do you remember about 20 years ago, there were some full-page adverts in our national papers saying where the Messiah was to be found. That all came to nothing as well. And others have thought to know the time of the end through examining the signs of the times. But actually, Matthew 24 is very clear. Even Martin Luther, at one stage, was very clear that he knew when the end of the world was. He expected it in 1530. He said this, "For it's certain from the Holy Scriptures that we have no more temporal things to expect. All is done and fulfilled. The Roman Empire is at end, and the Turk has reached his highest point. The pomp of the papacy is falling away, and the world's cracking on all sides, almost as if it would break and fall apart entirely." 3 years later, he was castigating a man called Michael Stifel for such confident assertions he was giving about the end of the world. People who do that are wrong again and again and again. And not surprising. Verse 36, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Not the angels, although they stand in a very close and intimate way with the events at the end of the world, at the second coming, nor the Son. Jesus predicted the fall of Jerusalem and the end of the age, but he didn't profess to know the date of either. Yes, what Jesus knew, he knew perfectly, but his incarnation, God becoming man, involved necessary limitation of his knowledge if the incarnation was to be real. Jesus didn't appear to be human. He really was. And the angels don't know, the Son doesn't know, but only the Father. Return of Jesus is both known and unknown. It's certain, but also uncertain. Second, Jesus' return will be at an unexpected time. The Lord Jesus draws a parallel between the time of Noah and what it would be like when Jesus returns. Now, Noah was a real person, and the flood was a real event. 2 Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. A reminder that in Noah's time, as in ours, as at the end of history, there will be faithful teaching still going on. But actually, there'll also be those who ignore that. And the unexpected flood comes and destroys Noah's contemporaries because of their total refusal to take heed of what Noah was saying and doing. Verse 37, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man." What's going on? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with those things. They're all good things, neutral activities. Therefore, the warning is even stronger. The warning is that the immediate things, the present, can so preoccupy us that they become an end in themselves and cause us to be blinkered to what is of eternal importance. Chapter 24 speaks of a variety of distresses, but also reminds us that there is also that normal pattern of life continuing. And divine intervention of a flood, in which all except Noah and his family were destroyed, means God's word proved to be true. Noah's faith was vindicated, and the unbelief of the world was judged. I tremble for people who play at church, who don't listen to the word of God. It's deeply important what Jesus tells us here. Don't be missing out when Christ returns. And pray that your family won't, perhaps your husband or your wife or your children. God was in charge in Noah's day. And in a similar way, closing time for world history won't be left to us humans, for it belongs to God. As in Noah's day, so at the end of the world. It will come with a parallel unexpectedness and have a terrible result for those who are careless and unbelieving. verse 39, that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Blaise Pascal, in the 17th century, great mathematician and Christian and philosopher, he puts it rather wonderfully as he thinks about his own Christian confidence. It is a glorious thing to ride upon a ship that may well be shaken by storms and tossed by waves, but of which we know that no matter what happens, it will reach the harbour. Why? Because God reigns and Christ is coming. Finally, third, Christ's return will be unwanted by many. We are given those cameos or vignettes in verses 40 and 41. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Return of Jesus will be welcomed by many, but will also be unwanted by many. The return of Jesus is glorious and exciting, but also deeply sobering as well for those who are careless. I love the picture of these two men in the field. They're involved in the same kind of work, toiling alongside each other. Their circumstances are the same, working away side by side, day by day, year by year. Perhaps a father and son, perhaps two brothers, perhaps two servants. Let's update it. Royal Barks Hospital, two doctors doing their rounds, one taken, one left. Two policemen on the beat, one taken, one left. Two salesmen, one taken, one left. Two students in the library, one taken, one left. Verse 41. Two women will be grinding the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. There are two women using a handmill which was used to grind grain for daily food. They're sitting opposite each other, two round stones between them, a handle near the edge of the upper stone, and they're each pulling it back 180 degrees. Perhaps two sisters, perhaps a mother and daughter, perhaps two household slaves. Let's update it. Two mothers at butterflies in the church centre, one taken and one left. Two mothers hanging out there washing in the garden, one taken, one left. Or come to the high street, two women having lunch at Hartisan, one taken, one left. Two widows having tea, one taken and one left. They were doing the same thing, they were looking the same, but one left and one taken. Terrible separation, not just from one another, but from the living God. Return of Jesus is glorious and exciting. It's also a very sobering thought as well. Unwanted by many. And what we choose and how we live in this life, God, with reluctance, underlines our decision in life for eternity. I love the second coming, the fact that Christ will return. But actually, have we ourselves, are we making sure we're living in the light of it? Are you doing that yourself personally? Nobody's careless about something important. And yet some people are careless about this most magnificent hope we have. We take great care, or many of you do, I know, over your careers, your exams, your gardens, your family, your health. But actually, how much more should we take preparation to meet Christ? Verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We look forward to that day, but are you living properly in the present? Amen.